Tonight especially, it just seems like many of our young people are the ones, the 30 and unders, or you guys are showing up quite a bit, so that's really good. I know some of you are actually getting a little bit older than that, so that makes me get older, but we assemble ourselves together on Wednesday nights to come to a place where we worship, and it's what we're doing now, and just hopefully that you can continue to keep coming, and it gives you that, gives you something there to continue to help get you through the week. Bible studies are great. Worship is great. We need our Bible studies. I'm glad to be hearing about the small groups on Sunday nights. I'm really glad to hear that. We do need to be a part of worship. That's good, too. So we're seeing how this is flowing and how it's going. But tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 34 tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about what it's like to be discouraged, what it means, and how it works in the Bible. Sometimes I feel like we think that being discouraged is a sinful thing. Many of us think that being discouraged is a sinful thing. That is something that there is it's wrong, and that it is something that affects us in a way that it angers God, that it makes God upset because we get discouraged, and because we might get a little bit down on how things are turning out because we didn't think they would turn out like the way they are. We thought it would be something different, and I know if you know anything about the character of David in the Bible, we see that there was many times that there was a discouragement in his life. When we come to certain places in his life, it seems like there's always something there. Sometimes when we do sin, we come to a place where we are discouraged because we've sinned before God and we've done some things and we know we shouldn't have done. And sometimes the result of sin causes us to get discouraged. Some of us can relate to that. Some of us can relate to when our job we missed a job opportunity, or we got passed over on a job placement or a promotion. We can get discouraged over those. We can be discouraged over a breakup. We can be discouraged over a loss of a loved one. We can be discouraged on how our family is growing, or how it's not growing, or how our children are not going in the direction that we would like them to. Or we get discouraged because of our spouse's health. When you get older, things like that happen. But we find ourselves in something that comes, and we don't know how to handle discouragement very well as a believer. We struggle with it because we feel that if we become, and when we are discouraged, that we are no good for God. That we are the weak link in the chain. That we are we're just going to get passed up from God's blessings. And I want to share some things with you today because God sees this when we are discouraged. And I want to tell you that there's not a person here today that's never been discouraged. There's not one of us that's not been discouraged. But there's some of us that we get discouraged a little bit more than others. We get a little bit more depressed than others, or we get a little bit more down than others, and others we feel like, then man, how can they always be on a mountaintop? How can they always be up there, always look like they're doing so good, and they're so happy, and they're so like, you just want to slap that smile off their face sometimes and say, come on, can you be real? So we put those on there, and we even come to the times where we don't want our discouragement to show, so we turn around and we put this false face on, so we turn our frown upside down and we try to make it right, but it's not who we are, so it goes right back down because we struggle with how we handle discouragement. And we feel like God's not with us when we're discouraged. We feel like he's walking away, or he steps away from us, or we've stepped away from him because we got discouraged. And the scriptures tells us all throughout God's word that there are people who have been discouraged. And I want to read some now to Psalms 34. We're going to be in here for a bit. And he says in verse 7, let me go back to verse 6. He says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And one thing he continues to say is that God is around those who are discouraged. God is with those who are discouraged. In verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. And what it is that there's a continuous relationship with God even when you are discouraged. Even when you are down and out, there is still a relationship with God. Sometimes we're like turtles and we want to put our head in the shell and act like the problems don't exist. When you pop your head back out, guess what? The problems didn't leave. They're still there. Okay? But we cannot hide from those problems because sometimes we want to do that. We're going to come back there for just a moment, but I want to turn really quick over. I want you to see something here. I wasn't planning on going there, but I want to for a moment. In 1 Kings chapter 19. There come a place here, and I'm going to give you this place here, the Mount Carmel. This Mount Carmel showdown has happened with God's prophet, one man, his name was Elijah, and then the Jezebel's prophets, there were 400, and they were the prophets of Baal, and they came up on high noon, they had this showdown on the Mount Carmel, whose God is real. They put some wood in a big pile and said, here it is, if your God is real, let him put that wood on fire. The prophets tried to do it, they couldn't do it, they took knives, they cut themselves, they're bleeding all over the place, and they're doing running around chanting, doing their thing all day, and they couldn't get it done. Elijah turned around and says, won't you cut yourself some more? Just try it on. Keep on doing it some more. He's kind of taunting them. They tried to do it. They're calling on Baal. Baal ain't doing nothing. And then so God turned, or Elijah comes around. He says, hey, throw some water on that wood. Throw some water on that wood. And he ends up calling on God, and God lights it all on fire. And there's an amazing peace. And all the prophets were put to death on the prophets of Baal. And there was a great victory for those people. It was a great victory for Elijah. And in that same day, there's a piece there where he talks about this little rain cloud. Go out and he sends his aide, run out there and see if you see a rain cloud. Does this seven times. He finally says, there is a cloud that is as small as the size of a man's fist. And he says, then he tells the king Ahab, he said, Ahab, you better get down from here because rain is coming. And so he runs, so he gets in his chariot and he's going down to Jezreel. He's leaving, he's coming off the mountainside because if it rains really hard, guess what happens to a mountainside? All washes down. And the Bible says that the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and Elijah ended up getting these feet like flash, and he outruns the chariots. What an amazing, that's awesome. And he beats him down there to the bottom of the hill, and he beats him. So Elijah passes up horses. I don't think anybody here can outrun horses. But there was a moment where one man did in time, and God put the power upon him, and he outdid it, and he did it. And he comes down, and Ahab goes out, and he tells his wife Jezebel. Jezebel is the wicked king, or the wicked queen. Ahab is the king. Ahab don't know how to act like a king. Ahab is wimpy. And he turns around and he tells his wife everything that's going on in the territories. And he's always seeking her advice. And she's a wicked woman. And he turns around and he tells Jezebel all that happened. In all this, in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent out a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make you, your life, like one of them. So what he was saying, what she was saying was, sends out a messenger. Messenger comes up to Elijah and says, Jezebel says by the time tomorrow you're going to be dead. Just like you put her prophets to death, she's going to have you put to death. And the Bible says Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. Boom, there he goes. And he goes out into the wilderness and he's discouraged. You think, what in the world? You had this mountaintop experience. You've seen God move. You turn around and you've seen God move again through the cloud. You see him come through with the fire on the wood. And then you turn around and then you see him run in. And he begins to outrun the chariot and he beats everybody down the hill. And so down the mountain. So we see this. Why in the world would he become afraid? Because I want to tell you sometimes we are not as strong as we think we are. We must lean upon the Lord. And he heard the words from this wicked woman. And I've never met a woman named Jezebel. Nobody names their kid, their daughters, Jezebel. Anyway, she had a very horrible doom, an ending. But God had to teach Elijah a lesson. And so we see this piece here that even with Elijah, there were some things that he struggled with. And sometimes we need to remember that God isn't always going to be in the mountaintop experiences, but God's going to be this sweet voice, this sweet still voice that's going to speak to you from his word. He's going to speak to you from his spirit. And I want to share with you a piece here. There were some people in the word of God that struggled. and women of God that struggled. Now I want to ask you a question before I jump in there. Has any of you ever struggled in your walk? Have you ever been discouraged in your trail of life? Any of you say, you know what, there's something, you know, that's the thing that I struggle with? Does anybody here say, that's the thing I struggle with? I struggle with discouragement? I said, oh, thank you. We got one there. Okay, so we got it. Yep. So we struggle with discouragement. And I want to tell you that you are not the only one that has struggled with discouragement. Moses struggled with discouragement. Leading a people of stiff-necked people out of Egypt, and all they did was complain. And all they did was complain. And these people see more miracles of God than any other people ever existed. And they continued to rebel against God all the time. They rebelled all the time. And this was a discouragement for Moses. And we see that Moses was a great man. We see Joshua was discouraged at Ai when they had a military defeat. He was discouraged with that, trying to find out who sinned because they were defeated. He could not understand that. Joseph was discouraged when he was in prison, when he was given up and sold into slavery and put into prison, and then the men and the baker and the cupbearer and all that, and they didn't remember him. And David was discouraged when he tried to continue to hide his sin in his life, like adultery and lying and murder. He hid that in his life. And we find out that David was discouraged when he returned, and he didn't go into battle, but he went to the battlefield. He brought his guys back to Ziklag, and he find out that everything that he had, his full family and everything that he had and all of his people, everything was pulled into captivity. And the Bible says that he was discouraged because his own men were about ready to stone him and take his life. But he was found encouragement in the Lord. We see Job when Satan came and he destroyed his family. He stole everything that he had. He destroyed his livelihood. He killed his family. And his wife sat there and said, won't you just curse God and die? Let me tell you, if you don't think that's a moment of discouragement, that's a moment of discouragement. And then Satan turns around, touches the top of his head to the soles of his feet and puts him down to sick. And he was sickly, deathly sickly. And he was discouraged through that. Esther was discouraged when she found out that this one individual wanted to kill all the Jews, and it was up to her to go in to see the king, but she didn't have permission. But as she walked in, that the king could say, your life is over. So she came into that place and she said, if I perish, I perish. If I let, I may. But she struggled with that, but she did it for her people. Daniel was in the lion's den, and they sealed it with the signet ring of the king. And he was in there, and there was a moment of discouragement because he was in there. He knew where he was going. John the Baptist was arrested and put into prison, and he asked his disciples to go ask Jesus, are you really the one? Are you really the Messiah? He had a moment of discouragement. Peter had a moment of discouragement when he denied Jesus three times and his eyes locked on Jesus, and he said, I don't know that man. And he turns and he hears that rooster crow, and it just broke him in half, and he ran off and he broke down crying behind the walls of a building. And we see Jesus, even Jesus came to a place in his life when he is praying and he asked, Lord, Father, if this cup could pass from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. Discouragement is found out all through the scriptures, all through the scriptures. But this is what I know. God never left any of them in discouragement. He brought them through discouragement. He brought them through in a victory, and every one of their lives was found out. They went through it and they came victorious with whatever was the discouragement. They had victory in their life and they made it through the storms of discouragement. They made it through because they stuck it out with God. They stuck it out when the scripture says the righteous cry out. Each one of them was crying out to God, crying out, praying to God, asking God, not knowing the answers, but they were wrestling with God. And we have Jacob, we have others that we couldn't get through. Gideon, we have Samson as he's pushing the mill, he's pushing and he knows his eyes are out. He said, I missed my opportunity. Every one of these individuals in God's, all the main characters of God's scriptures, all of them had moments of discouragement. But they did not let that defeat them in their life. Praise God for that. They remembered when they were discouraged because of an act that they did, like Samson. that caused that discouragement or something that didn't cause him, like what Joseph did. He didn't cause a discouragement, but people brought him into discouragement. And whatever it is, God sought these and brought these men and women through all of that discouragement. And he brought them through, not just in a way that they wanted, but in a glorious, honoring, beautiful way. Samson was able to defeat more, to kill more than he did in any other time. John the Baptist's head was taken. It was a pitiful, painful thing. But then when he's spoken about by Jesus, he said, there's never been a man on the face of the earth greater than John the Baptist. Then the world just cut his head off. But to Jesus, he was lifted up in his discouragement. Daniel made it through his discouragement. As he prayed through the night, the lions' mouths were shut. And then the seal was open and he was let go. And it wasn't long that God entrusted. And this is the other part that we see through discouragement. Once we get through discouragement, we find that God is going to use that, or he's going to use something, and it strengthens us. Alex, I don't know if, can you turn that down a little bit? I don't know if the feedback is hitting me or what. But even with Daniel, we see in chapter 10 that God gives Daniel a great revelation that is used later on in the future that we still haven't seen yet, and he has yet to come. We see Job going through his, and God restores him when he says, if the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away in discouragement, he still prays and leans on his God. And he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he still had taunts and he still had things that he had to go through. But at the end, he was blessed more at the end of his, the second half of his life, more than the first half of his life. We see Joseph and being sold into slavery and through his discouragement and through prison, that God used those things to make him a great and awesome vice president of the kingdom. Moses, we see Moses, even though we see a part that where leaders sin, we see that God disciplines those, and there's more upon the leaders, and we see Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. But we see people say, well, that is such a, that he didn't make it to the promised land. But let me tell you something. When Jesus was praying at the mountain, it was Moses who appeared at the transfiguration. God allowed Moses to be there. Do you not think God trusted Moses to be there? We see Peter in that moment of discouragement. But that moment of discouragement in Peter's life didn't last one night. It lasted all the way up until the night, until the day that he was fishing and a visitor was walking on the shore after all said and done, Jesus buried and the crucifixion, and he was buried, and they didn't understand and all those things. And here he comes walking on the shore, Jesus, and he says, is that Jesus? And he says, Peter jumps out of the boat and he's running toward Jesus, and Jesus restores him, and he asks him, do you love me Peter? And he restores him and he gets out of that discouragement, and he goes in and he's part of that first preacher that preaches the most amazing message in the book of Acts. God takes your discouragement and turns them around. He hears the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles, from all of their troubles. These men and women knew who to lean on when they were struggling. We even see Ruth, a story that doesn't have a bunch of lions and a bunch of fire and a bunch of swords, but we see a broken woman whose husband had died, and we see her sticking with the family she married into, sticking with that family that knew God, and she stuck with that family, and God had a man come through that was a godly man, and she became his wife, and God began to rule and began to use her. And we see the bloodline through Christ's lineage. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all of their troubles. Let me ask you, is there a trouble that you went through that God has not brought you through? Now you can choose to stay there. But if you want to get through and you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will. The Bible says that if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. You draw and you reach out to God, you cannot reach past Him. You'll reach to Him and He'll do what you cannot do. He'll let you touch Him and He'll grab you and He'll pull you toward the things of God. Now sometimes He won't let go, but sometimes we let go. Because we want to go back to that old junk that we used to do. We want to go back to that old lifestyle that got us into trouble in the first place. But He says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. So God hears those who are righteous. Who is righteous? Those who are trying to live a Christ-like life. If you're trying to live a Christ-like life and you're wanting God to lead you, He hears every one of your cries. Every one of your cries. And He delivers you from all troubles. Doesn't mean He's going to do it all in one moment. It's a process because we need to grow up in Him. And He's going to guide us through that. It said the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted? Have you ever been to a place where you felt like giving up? Have you ever been to a place where you said life isn't worth living? Have you been to a place where you said, oh well, the world doesn't love me, nobody loves me, but you knew this deep down that there was someone that did love you, that someone that did accept you even with all your junk, and you knew His name was Jesus Christ. And He says this, I am with those who are brokenhearted. I am with those and I am close to those. And it says, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Has your spirit ever been crushed? Has your spirit ever been crushed? It's when the church goes through a split and you feel like your soul has been ripped apart. You've gone through a place in your life and you've seen your parents divorce and you thought they were the best couple in the world and they split and it just tore you apart. You went through a place and you saw someone that you really liked and maybe it was a relative that you really, really loved and they died at a young age and it just ripped you apart. And it crushes your spirit. And He says, I save those who are crushed in spirit. So not only does He help the brokenhearted, but He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He says, a righteous man may have many troubles, and we do, do we not? It's not wrong to say that you are a righteous man. A righteous man is a man, that woman, a righteous woman is a person, an individual who tries to live their life a Christ-like living. So you need, and He says, if we are righteous, we need to be righteous. And some people will say, well, that's too much for me. God never, He's not going to forgive me for what I've done. I've done too much. Listen, that's a lie from Satan and from the pits of hell. The Bible says that Jesus came so that all might be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whoever, didn't say those who didn't sin a lot, those who had less sin, but He said, whosoever believeth. And a righteous man may have, a man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers from all of them. From all of them. And I look back in my own past and I look and I say, there's not a moment where I was left into my troubles and my troubles took me out. No. And what it is, I remember that the Lord had redeemed me, had brought me through those storms of life, had brought me through those times of discouragement and raised me up and used me and used those discouragements that I might become stronger as an individual. The Bible says the Lord redeems His servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in Him. Let me tell you, God knows how to protect His people. God knows how to take care of His people. God knows what to do with you and your problem. God knows what to do with you and your tragedy. God knows what to do when your brokenness, and God knows what to do when your spirit is crushed. He knows what to do with the tears that come from you and flows from your eyes. He knows that. And He knows what to do. But we must let Him do His work. And we must come to Him with an openness. We must come to Him with an openness. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. So God's got business with those who do evil, but He's got awesome business to do with those who are righteous. And He says, my ears, I hear their cry. Have you ever cried to God? Have you ever cried out to God? Have you ever shed tears to God? Let me say, God has seen all of your tears. He's seen all of your tears. He has seen you in your most vulnerable moments. He knows when you're even talking to your spouse where you feel you can't even get, you don't know, it's not that you don't trust your spouse with what you're about to say, it's just you don't trust what's going to happen after what is you feel like you want to say. But let me tell you, God already knows. God already knows how to work through that. But He does say, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You see, when we do that, there's things that we need to do. We need to turn from certain lifestyles. We need to turn from certain things that we do. And we need to run to God with all of our junk. And if we're discouraged, as a believer, we're discouraged. We need to know this. Discouragement may mess with me today, but it ain't going to take me out. It may be what I'm struggling with today, but that ain't who I am. Because you need to know Scripture. I can do all things through Christ. I can make it through this. He's going to strengthen me through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, or the Maker of heaven and earth. It comes from Him. And we focus on that. The Bible says to fix our eyes on Jesus. As it's been earlier read, that we are to cast all our anxieties before Him because He cares for you. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our heart rejoices, for we trust in His holy name. It's all about us and Jesus. Not all about that problem. There's nothing that He cannot handle. And there are times when we get to a place where we feel like, Lord, I cannot handle this. And it could be something of cancer. It could be something that could end up taking parts of our life and taking some things away. But the Lord sometimes will say things that may seem very, very hard. And He say, my grace is sufficient. Which means you're going to have this problem. But remember, that's not who you are in Christ. When we look at it through the eyes of a believer, when we look at it, try to look at it through the eyes of eternity, this world ain't got nothing on us. It hasn't got nothing on us. It throws some damage. It throws some discouragement at us. But we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. You see, sometimes even the unrighteous see the awesomeness of the righteous. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were walking, they were put into the flames because they would not bow themselves to the king. And if anybody would bow down to the king, if you didn't bow down to the king, you were going to be put in the hot fire and you're going to be burned alive. And they said, oh, king, we cannot do this because you are not our God, but Yahweh is our God. And he was furious. He says, put him in the fire and stoke that bad boy 7 times hotter than it is normally. But even now, sometimes God allows the unrighteous to see the awesomeness on how God takes care of the righteous. For when they put him in there, the individuals that put him in there, it was so hot that the guys that put him in there, they burn up, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not get burnt up. And the king did not understand it because he's watching this from some distance, but yet he can see this fire pit. And he counts them. He at least can count. He says, I put 3 in there, but why is there 4? He goes, 1, 2, 3. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, I put 3 in there. I didn't put 4. But then God opens up his eyes and he says, but that one looks like the Son of God. You see, sometimes the unrighteous sees the awesomeness that God does for the righteous. And God's name gets glory from that. But sometimes we feel like we're the only ones that see the discouragement. I want to tell you tonight, you're not the only one that sees your discouragement. You see it because it's your discouragement. But I want to remind you, there's a set of eyes that listen and watch those and hear those cries that are the righteous. He watches them because you are His children. And let me tell you, nothing's going to happen to you that He don't allow it, because you're His baby. You're His child. He died for you, and Daddy sent His Son to die for you and your sins, that you might be part of the family of God. So there ain't nobody going to do anything to you that God doesn't allow. Now, you might do some stupid stuff. Am I the only one in the room that done some stupid stuff? But praise God, the Bible says that God disciplines those whom He loves. I've been under God's discipline, and I don't like it, and I've learned I don't like His... Because, you know, He don't threaten to whoop. He sometimes just flat out and whoops. And it's painful, but God brings you to a place you're like, I'm not going to do that again. And we start growing up in Jesus, and He loves us. And when we stay in that righteousness, and we stay focused, and we stay in that circle that God wants us to be, nobody's going to mess with you that He don't allow it to happen. That's a pretty good deal. That's awesome. That's awesome. He is our protector. We just got to quit leaving the protection. And when we are getting messed with and we're in discouragement, the best thing you can do is take a walk with the Lord and say, Lord, somebody's messing with me. I'm discouraged today. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. And sometimes you're just going to know, oh man, that's spiritual warfare. That happens to people that are trying. Satan is always messing with people trying to do the right thing that God wants them to do. But sometimes people are, the world's messing with you and those kind of things. And you can call out and say, Dad, listen, these things, Father, these things are happening to me. Do you see them? He's going, I saw them. I see them. And sometimes He's going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's going to be right there with you, and nobody's going to mess with you. Other times He's going to allow something to happen, but He's not going to let it go too far, because He's going to use that to prune something in your life, which we're not going to go into tonight, but prune some things in your life, because He wants you to get to another place in your life, so that but you have to be stronger. You have to get stronger before you get there. And you're going to have to learn how to take some hits, Phil. And Savannah, you're going to have to learn how to take some hits and get some right.